périphérie dans Bang Bang pour cette édition spéciale Hellfest 2026. Hello guys, how are you?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
Fine. Right. You're there, so we're so happy to have you.
Good, not too hot.
It's been really, like, shockingly hot here, right? It's yeah. not just me, yeah. right?
2 days better.
Today's better, but yesterday.
A little bit oh, yeah. of a breeze, yeah.
Warm and wet.
No, now we got a breeze. It's actually nice today.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. We're in the shade.
Right. Yeah.
That's good.
And it's better for your hair. Like this, you can just...
Yeah.
Exactly.
I hear it's going to be really hot this weekend, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday's
yeah.
going to be 40.
Yeah.
45, maybe.
Really?
No, feelings.
The feelings, yeah.
The way you feel it.
Can you imagine being in the crowd? Like,
yeah,
because at least we're on stage. Like, here we got shade, we've got water, whatever. But if you're in the crowd, like, moshing, are you going to feel guilty doing, like,
no,
big I don't feel
you're
guilty.
You're going to die! No. No, we're going to make people's days even better. That's the yeah. hope, right? We're doing a service.
Are you going to say, like, oh, move a little bit more.
Yes.
What are you, lazy ass?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Always asking for more.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
We're a metal band, you know?
Although we won't be here Sunday, so.
Yeah, we won't be here on
we'll
Sunday.
We'll be at Grass Pop Sunday.
You know, we're here the day where it's easy. Today's the easy day, so
yeah,
they
yeah.
better move around more than usual, you know?
Yeah.
Lucky you, right?
What if the people
lucky
is
them.
Wet, they can just like,
oh,
you
yeah.
say,
they can rub.
No.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about. I'm like looking at the crowd. I'm like, wow, like. You're very close, and it's very hot out. You
you're,
know?
You're so posh. from up this stage, oh.
Yeah. I might even have a fan on my face, but, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can have the smell of the crowd.
I'm sure we'll
the
get
warm.
It. Whether we oh, want yeah. it or not, I'm sure we'll get the smell.
We're playing in Altar, which is like one of the tents.
So yeah. maybe less
so
wind.
So it'll be a little pungent. It was last night. We saw Igor last night, and
yeah.
it was like... It was a really intimate experience with a lot of people that are all sweaty, including myself. So, yes, very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we breathed in a lot of stranger sweat last night. Mm. But Igor was worth it because they're
yeah.
fucking amazing, man.
Oh, yeah. You
I
like
love
it?
That. I love that.
Yeah,
we all love Igor. We all love Igor.
We've been watching their videos on YouTube for, I mean, years and years and years
but
now.
Live,
so, yeah,
fuck,
we're very
man.
Familiar.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible live band.
Yeah, we had the chance to see them at Olympia, which is a really cool... venue in Paris, and the show was like
yeah, they put on such a good show.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
feels
yeah.
like an experience.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like going to a show as a kid, be like, "Is this for real?" You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I love it, man.
Something mystical and different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very,
very
much so.
Very different.
Yeah.
So people ask like, "What style of music?" And I'm like, "Yes," you know.
This is Igor.
It's all of it. Talking about going to the show as a kid, what was your first? The first gig you can remember, and the first gig maybe in the more alternative
you went
genre.
When you were young.
The first actual like big show that I went to was saw Rush at a very young age, and that was great as a young drummer, getting to see Neil Peart play,
yeah,
getting to be in an arena and experience what that was like. It was like, yeah, this is what I want to do, you know. I kind of knew early
the
on.
The first one is the good one.
Yeah, I knew before. I think I knew even before then, just from growing up in the MTV generation,
yeah.
where there was actually great music videos, and a lot of it was rock music and heavy music. You had Headbangers Ball. So I was exposed to it at a very young age, and then just, yeah, it all kind of clicked, and it made sense. So, yeah, I'd say that was it for me.
My first show was great. It was a festival, actually. Summer Sanitarium. Do you guys remember that one?
No.
Metallica headlining.
Oh,
Korn,
yeah.
Direct support. I think Kid Rock, Power Man 5000, and believe it or not, System of a Down was opening. That's how fresh they were.
Yeah.
They were just on their first album. Incredible lineup. And you know, I already had the dream of being a musician and playing live, but that galvanized it. You know, that seeing that, I was like, oh, yeah, like this is literally the best thing you could ever do in your life, you know? So, yeah, seeing stuff like that will definitely make an impression.
You know that you want to do it for real. After
I mean, the dream, I was like, this is impossible. It probably will never happen. Mm. But Americans, we like to dream. And
yeah.
we like to go for it anyways, you know, even if it'll end in tears or failure, which it often does.
When you do this, <it's better
laughs> yeah.
when you're way young, to see people on TV and everything.
Absolutely.
You want to do it, and you can do it in America more than here. We got a famous French band.
You guys have...
Well, you have Gojira.
Quite a few French bands. Yeah.
And Igor, and well, yeah, there's a ton of French, but my understanding, you can correct me, it's tough for French bands that don't speak or that don't sing in French, because you get less radio play, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a mandated amount.
If you do metal or things like this, you're not on radio, so you don't care.
But I remember hearing it was like kind of a decision. It was like kind of a like a bit of a middle finger for like Gojira to be in English.
Yeah.
Because it makes their life harder.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes it harder for them to get played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they still made it.
It's like, but they made it going in
America.
The US.
Yeah.
That's what made them huge.
Thank
like
you.
Touring with Metallica is like, okay, now we exist.
It's interesting to see the bands that are out with Metallica now. I remember one of another early show was Metallica and Smashing Pumpkins together. Smashing Pumpkins was direct support. I forget who opened that show. But now seeing Metallica still doing it and then taking out bands like Architects, like Gojira. Who else was with them recently that we saw? Was Lorna Shore, maybe? Was it? There's other.
But it's cool.
Yeah,
they're taking out a lot of like legit bands, you know?
Yeah.
And exposing a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It was Knock Loose. Yes, it was Knock Loose.
And that's so cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like they still got their finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing, and they are really true about this.
Yeah. It's not like contrived picks. These are like legit bands that I think will do well if people are exposed to them. So they're just showing a ton of people. And of course, they're going to be like, wow, this band's fucking amazing. I'm going to go check them out. So it's a good service for the metal industry, I think.
It's like a dream, no? Yeah, every band wants to,
to
be available.
Yeah, that'd be another dream. We'll probably never achieve it, but if we could ever open for Metallica, that would be a, you know?
That would be awesome, yeah.
So you choose to do this kind of music. This is a particular music. We had a guy who works with us that is really a huge fan of you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Noise.
This
is his name. And he's always talking about you.
I'm sorry.
In our show.
No, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's
because
okay.
We
forgive him.
Okay, we understand. So what I want to say is, at which moment do you decide to do this kind of music, technical music, to do something really, you have to work a lot to do this kind of music. You know what I mean?
It comes from a very genuine place. Like I started the band and I was just recording in my bedroom and it's just recording stuff that I like, just ripping off Meshuggah a lot and Sixth and Dream Theater and Deftones, you know, it's just all the stuff I love, you know?
Yeah.
And I started at a point where you could record on a computer and make music by yourself. And that was a beautiful thing. It's like, oh, I can make something and I don't have to bother anyone. I could do this at 3 a.m. on headphones.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, it's just something I could do on my own time. I could take as much time as I want. And then through that, you know, found band members because they all enjoyed what I was doing. So it came from a very genuine, there was never like, I don't really consider us a technical band. Like, I don't care about that. I don't think any of us, it's just what we're feeling, you know? And if it happens to be technical, then that's what it needs to sound like. But I think we also do a lot of really simple stuff too, because that sounds good too, you know?
But I think that also, because there's also a lot of work on production and your sound, like, I don't know any band who hasn't talked about the sound of Periphery.
That's true.
It's like a reference for everybody because there's always something to, maybe if you don't want to do the same thing, but you want to take this part or this part.
Oh, they do this.
And you've been such a reference for so many bands.
That's crazy. I mean, we're not doing it for that reason. We just want things to sound good.
Yeah, but
it's all part of the vision.
Yeah.
And you always want more. And you always want to see what you can get away with. Yeah. And you're never truly satisfied, you know? It's always like, okay, cool, like, we did this. I think we could do it better next time. Like, I already have ideas. Like, by the time we're finished with an album, I already know, like, what I want to try for the next one because it's like, yeah, we're happy with this, whatever. But, like, we learned so much in the process that now we're excited to be able to take those learnings for the next time around. So it's never about proving anything, but it's just if you're going to do something, you want it to be done right. You know, otherwise, what's the point, right?
I was going to say, I think we're all also just gear nerds. We just like gear.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
You know? I think we're all respectively kind of obsessed with our own sounds, developing our own sounds and exploring those sounds. And we all listen to a lot of different styles of music. And I think we're always trying to just have these sort of like almost like a Rolodex in our brains of like, oh, we need this kind of sound or we need that sound. Okay, let's pull up some references of things that we've listened to. And everybody has such a different, I think, example of that that they bring to the table. So it forces us to kind of to keep pushing it to what we want it to be as far as like better and better and better and better, hopefully. That's the goal. And then we also work with really great, great people like Nolly.
Nolly is
who's our former bandmate. He used to play bass in the band, but now he's a full-on producer and mixer.
But he's still like heavily, just as involved with every album that we do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we're having conversations with him from day one of a record about the sound of the record, just as much as we're communicating with each other in the band about what the record is going to be about and how we're going to approach it. So he's involved from day one. It's very important to us.
I mean, is this to work too much on all those things? Is this a challenge or funny thing? You know what I mean? Or both?
I think both.
It's both.
It's anything fulfilling is going to probably be a challenge.
It's challenging. It's stressful. We care way too much about that last like 5% and lose sleep over it. But then when it's done, you can sleep at night. And you feel good. Yeah. And it's nice to put the work into something and have it come out somewhat like the vision, you know? And when you have such a strong vision, like, I don't know, it would just kill me to put it out and not have it be like, we just wouldn't put it out until it's ready, you know? Yeah. So it's very, that's very important to us, but it's very satisfying when it's done.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I think you like to spend time tweaking everything.
Not too much time.
but is it more just to make it perfect?
Yes.
Or is it also because you like the geeking stuff?
Yeah, play.
It's both. It's both.
For me, it was, I always felt like you were like geeks. And like finding the perfect way to put all this obsessive, I don't know what to say, but this obsessive thing about sound, it's like matching the two elements is perfect.
Well, look, I mean, we're always going for something that we can't reference exactly. Like even going into this last album, A Pale White Dot, I went to Nolly and I was like, I don't have a reference for what I want. I have a few aspects of references I want to pull from this. I want this aspect from this, this aspect from that. And I think even he sort of half understood, but he was like, we'll get it. Don't worry. And actually, Spencer, our singer, also mixes and is masters and very, very talented in this realm. Also a gear nerd. So Spencer and I flew to Bath in the UK to mix with Nolly. So the three of us put our heads together because we knew we wanted to create something that was new. I mean, I'm not saying that in sort of an egotistical way, but just saying that we couldn't like just be like, hey, let's copy that. You know?
New for us.
Yeah. And it's new for us. And it's like, being able to go in with that goal, and then I'm so happy with how the album comes out. It's if you guys play video games, it's sort of like that final boss or something where you fucking hate life, like trying to beat it. But then when you beat it, you're like, yes, you know? So that's kind of what it feels like for us.
But when the game is over, sometimes you're sad because you can't play the game anymore.
No, we're excited for the next game.
Or if you're like me, you keep playing the game over and over and finding new things
that's
about
true.
It.
That's
like,
true. Yeah. He just like plays it into the ground until he breaks it. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, it's a good analogy, but that, you know, we get to tour on it, but truthfully, I'm already excited to start writing again. Yeah, because it's a good feeling, you know?
In the last album, maybe the songs are less long. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that for live or is that because you choose to do something more impact? You know what I mean?
This last album is very different. We've been doing numbered periphery albums, you know, with the exception of Juggernaut, which was a concept album. And we very much did not want to do Periphery 6. We had a big conversation because we are very fortunate. We've had full creative control for the entire history of the band. We now own our label. Our management that we've had for like over a decade now is lockstep with us. Okay. Like music is sacred. They don't, like our manager doesn't hear the album until it's mastered, you know, so the music is sacred. And I think what we learned is like we started to fall into a bit of a formula that of our own that we'd sort of built, because when you can do everything, you sort of reach for the same things like instinctively. And I think the idea, we'd done that well for the last two albums, and I felt like we did it really well, And I think for all of us, we were like, doing that again is the most uninspiring thing. We were just like, we don't want to do it. Matt was making fun of me like, you know, you can literally boil it down to like, there's this song, there's that kind of song, the whatever. Are we just going to do that again? And he actually came to us with the idea of like doing a non-narrative concept album. So there's not a story, but there's a concept that ties all the songs. And he was talking about loneliness. And as soon as he said it, it was like the floodgates opened with ideas. And we were like, oh my God, like we have so much to say about this. And it was like, you know what? There was a couple things that I was saying. I was like, I've always wanted to do more concise songs because for us, it's very easy to write long songs. It's almost too easy to write long songs. I'm like, what if we tried to like really tighten the arrangement?
New challenge.
Let's just see. Yeah. It's hard. It's actually hard for us to do that. But a challenge is fun, you know?
It's like choosing which kid you're going to keep in the song. No, well, this chorus goes away.
Well, you know, we have a saying, kill your darlings, and we definitely killed a lot of darlings for this album. It, like, we really cut everything down and tried to make it as concise as possible. It's not necessarily the way we're going to go forward forever, but, like, for this project, it was great, and it was great to exist in this box. And it's amazing how just creating a box to live in, all of a sudden now everyone has ideas. We wrote the album really quickly, actually, like intense, but quickly, because it was just all of a sudden ideas. So
creativity comes from a sort of constraints.
Yes, exactly.
Bon, bah, je crois qu'on a, on est bon là. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you very much for having us. It was
great. Thank you for your history, everything.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for your funny things.
You got it.
Merci.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Toutes nos émissions et chroniques sont maintenant disponibles sur vos plateformes de podcast préférées. Spotify, Deezer, Apple, Amazon. N'hésitez pas à vous abonner.